Again, good morning and a welcome to all. This morning we are going to look at a text that deals with prayer. Now sometimes when we think of prayer and when we think of sermons on prayer, we think of, well, how we're going to do it, where we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to feel when we do it. And really, what we will see within our text is Jesus tells his disciples to pray. And he actually gives them words that are very familiar to all of us. And then he goes on to tell a short parable about God, the one whom we pray to. And it shows that God is very faithful in answering that prayer. And that's really the thing that we need to remember as we go through our text and as we think about prayer. God, for the most part, gives us all that we need anyway. The reason we pray is that we are recognizing Him for who He is and what He continues to do for us all the time. And because God continues to show His love for all people, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive the one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is, a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Please be seated. As I was looking at this text, and I was looking at the readings for this week, there were two readings that I really kind of had feelings for. And the first one, or this one, is the one that won out as I prayed about it this week. And the other one was out of the Colossians text that you heard during our scripture reading. But really, the reason that I wanted to talk about the Colossians text comes out of this text because it talks about this. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And really what we have Jesus Christ, the fullness of the deity, talking about prayer and how much God is willing to give for us. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now, it's very interesting because as I was reading about prayer in the ancient church and in the ancient days, many of the, say, groups within the church had set prayers that they said all the time. Now, if you look in the back of our hymnal, and you don't have to do it now, you can do it later, there's a church prayer that is written down, that is one that we could use every Sunday morning. Now, within our group, so to say, we have been taught to pray extemporaneously, which means say what's on our heart. But there's nothing wrong with a formed prayer. And that's really what Jesus is giving to his disciples. But many groups taught different forms. Many of them said the same thing. But that's what his disciples are asking. Hey, John the Baptist, taught his disciples to pray. Teach us to pray. And then we get into what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And if we go back to Matthew, which was probably this same prayer given at a different time, he actually tells them to go into their closet, to go secretly and say this prayer. That it is not supposed to be a big show done on a street corner so that all the people can see us and they can be proud of us because we pray, or they can think that we're more righteous. It is said between us and God. When you pray, you shall say this: Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Now, it's always interesting to me in teaching confirmation and doing some of these things, because you get into this. Hallowed or holy be your name. Now, this is one of those things. Because God's name is always holy. It doesn't change because we don't think it's holy. But this is a reminder to you and to I that we are to remember that God is holy. His name is to be holy wherever it is brought forth. And your kingdom come. Now, it's very interesting at the end of this text what it says in verse 13. He says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those of you who ask Him?" What Jesus seems to be indicating here is that He would bring us that Holy Spirit. That would come to us in form. And really, that's what Luther teaches within his catechism when he says, "Thy kingdom come." This is the second petition directly out of the catechism. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayers. But we also pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does the kingdom of God come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here and in the time, in this time and there and in eternity. You see, there's a whole lot deeper meaning, and a lot of times with the Lord's Prayer, we don't think about those meanings. Now, those of us who were raised within this tradition or within the Lutheran Church at all, you went through this as a kid. You went through confirmation. You learned the meanings of these things. But unfortunately, we as human beings get up and when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's like, okay, we just do it. But Jesus is giving us something that is very great. And it would help us within our daily lives to remember those meanings, to remember what is taught to us, what was passed on to us. Now that does not mean that praying it just wrote is not efficacious. That is the living and active Word of God. So there's nothing wrong with just proclaiming it each and every day, because we do need to hear and to understand it, just as we need each and every day food and sustenance. And so the next verse that he gives us is, give us each our daily bread. Now, daily bread, as you come to understand, is not just food. It has everything to do with housing, shelter, clothing. Yes, food, water, all of those things. These are all included within this. And so, we continue to pray each and every day that God would bless us. And the interesting thing is, as you think about how Jesus answers this parable, and in the end of our text, when he says that you who are evil give good gifts, God continues to give good gifts to all people. Be it believers or unbelievers, he seems to continuously feed them, continuously provide for their daily provision. What we are doing within this petition is we are remembering where that provision comes from. We don't like to sometimes think of God as blessing those who are unbelievers, but he does all the time. And he's continuously calling them back. And as we remember these words, we will remember that it is God who continues to sustain us in our daily lives. And then he goes on to the difficult one. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now there becomes the tough one. Because we find it very easy to receive forgiveness and to ask God for forgiveness. But God, Jesus Christ, doesn't deal in the realm of spiritual here. He brings this down to life, to daily, to you and me reacting together. He brings this to the person, that we forgive the sin, we ask for our forgiveness as we would forgive others. How do we forgive others? And this really becomes the question. Do we forgive without asking requirement? Do we forgive like God does, where those things are washed away from his memory and never to be brought up again? Or do we play lip service to forgiveness and we forgive and then we continuously bring it up? Maybe not to the person, but to others. Well, you know, this really happened and this is what he did. This is what she did to me. Or when we pronounce somebody forgiven, do we forget? And do we move on? And do we go forth? Because that's how God forgives us. And that's really the instruction here, that we are to forgive like that. But those are hard things for us to do in this flesh. And indeed, it's much easier to talk down or talk about someone's inadequacies than to deal with others in love and in forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. Now here's something where we ask directly for ourselves. that God would guide us away from those things that would turn us away from Him. We indeed are tempted each and every day, and we indeed can be led astray. And here we are reminding not only God but ourselves that He would draw us away from those temptations, that He would draw us back into the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, and back into a right and proper relationship with Him. And so that kind of ends the section of the prayer. This is much shorter than the one that is in Matthew. But he goes on now to talk about a parable, or to give a parable. And this parable directly comes in line with this prayer that he gives to his disciples. He says to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now, first of all, we have to understand a little bit of the culture again. People in this day didn't go out too much after dark. Now, midnight, I don't care where you are for the most part, unless you're in the upper Finland or Alaska or someplace. At midnight, it's dark. People slept. It would be considered actually pretty rude to show up. And what he asks of his friend for 3 loaves is also a pretty heavy gift. We have to remember that wheat at this time was probably ground with between rocks or with a big stick in a rock, and that all this intensive labor had gone into making this bread. And he's not there asking, you know, for himself, he's asking for his friend. And he asks for a big gift. And he's got nothing to set before his friend. "For I have a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me and I cannot get up to give you anything.'" And again, part of the cultural significance of this, for the most part, most people lived in very small dwellings, where their whole families slept in very close quarters. To get up and to start rummaging around in the area where you'd store the bread, if you want to say cupboards or whatever, would wake the whole family. He can't get up. But Jesus says something about this, about his friend. "But I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence," which means his cheekiness, his ability to ask, even though he knows he shouldn't, "he will arise and give him whatever he needs." And this is said in direct comparison to God. God has no problem going before him and asking him for what you need. And this is something that we kind of wonder about at times. Well, maybe I shouldn't be asking. And I'm not saying that God is a vending machine God and that everything that you put up in prayer is going to be answered. You know, I want a new car. Well, that doesn't mean God's going to give me a new car. That's not the way that works. But God makes sure that each and every day we are supplied with our needs. And we are to ask Him for these things. And that's what He goes on to really explain about how much He cares for us and how much we are to continue to talk to Him. "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Continue to go before God in all means possible. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus is telling his disciples to continually go before the Father. And this with the expectation that our needs and our desires will be fulfilled. To know it. Because God is good. And he goes on to explain this by the Father, by talking about a father's love for his children. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, instead of a fish, will give him a serpent? What parent among you, when your child asks for something to eat, will give them dog food? Now, part of the reason I say that, and this is funny, but that's okay. I think it's one of those deals. My kid loves to go eat the dog food. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm perfectly happy giving him wonderful things to eat. I'll cook it. I'll do whatever I need to do. But he'll go eat the dog food. And so it will also give us a little look into human nature that sometimes we don't know what's good for us. Hence the reason that we ask God for our daily bread. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. How many of us will give to our children something that we know will hurt them, will poison them? We won't do that. We can't do it. It goes against our very nature. It goes against the nature of love. And so then he goes on to finish this text. He says, if you then, who are evil, speaking of us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us every good gift. And the ultimate gift that he has given us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because this is the kingdom coming. This is what God has given to us to lead and to guide us in our everyday lives. To mold us, to shape us, and to make us into Jesus Christ's image. That we indeed are his children. The kingdom has come to us through our prayers and through God's will. And that's really coming through the Lord's Prayer is what God or what Jesus Christ is telling us. God has given us all these things. It has been, and we go with him in a spirit of thanksgiving. Because if we who are evil can give good gifts, how much more can a holy, perfect, and righteous God give to his redeemed children? For that's what he calls us. His gift is absolutely perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for your Son. For the forgiveness that you have given us in him. And Father, for the word that you have given us that we can learn from it. We ask, Father, that as we would recite and go through the holy prayer, or the Lord's Prayer each and every time we do it, that we would remember with thankful hearts what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that you have offered. And Father, that you would work in us by the power of that Spirit that you've given us, that great gift, that we would forgive others, that we indeed would continue to show love, and that we would remember each and every day what you have done for us. Father, we thank you for the time to gather together to worship and to praise your name. We ask that as we leave here that we would be ambassadors for you to go out and to spread this message of your gospel, of your forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.